And welcome back to the Giants Facebook page. This is On the Line. I'm Paul Dottino. He's two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal, as the Giants come off of a victory against the Kansas City Chiefs at MetLife Stadium yesterday. And now they've got to get set to try to make it two in a row coming up on Thanksgiving night against the Washington Redskins down in the nation's capital. And David, hey, there is nothing like going into a holiday game after a victory.
No, there really isn't, because number one, this team and this young team has the taste of victory, and now they see and they reap the rewards of what they've done in practice, and they've taken that to the game. And it was a gritty, tough, hard fight win for them. And they earned the right to beat the Chiefs. And now what do they need to do? Take that momentum on a short week to Washington and beat the Redskins. And I'll tell you what, there's no better feeling leaving there when you have the water turned to only cold and you're on your way back after a win going back to Giants Stadium.
Folks, we want your questions and your comments. We will be here for the next several minutes and try to answer all of your thoughts about Big Blue again as they get set for this NFC East divisional rivalry game. And you know, it's kind of funny because they haven't played the Redskins yet. They've got two times in the last six games against Washington.
No, but it's a familiar foe. You look at their roster outside of their receiving core, and it's the same players, Paul. But it's going to take a lot of film work, and it's going to have to do it on a short week. And what do? You're going to go in with some wrinkles, but you're going to run your base stuff, the things that you've been successful with, and then start pairing that up with the mismatches that you may have up against their offense and defense.
All right, before we get to your questions, as we wait for them to pour in, I've got one for David. I want to know, how is it that this defense was able to absolutely shut down Kansas City to only three field goals and get three takeaways against a team that only had given the ball away three times all season?
They did a great job of keeping everything within the numbers. Number one, making sure they got those hits on Travis Kelce off of the line so he didn't have a free release. You saw JPP how many times before rushing hitting him. And then what else did they do? Against the run, stayed square-shouldered, had lane discipline. But more than anything, it was effort and execution. There was somebody over the top for Tyreek Hill. There was somebody underneath. And they communicated to one another. And when you saw that ball go someplace, you saw seven, eight bodies run to it to finish the play. And that was what was needed on the defensive side of the ball.
Again, folks, keep the questions and comments coming. We'll get to them as soon as they pop up on the screen. How about that fake punt with Nat Burhey early in the game on fourth down? Giants with a gamble, and it paid off.
Not only did it bring life to the football team, but it brought life to the stadium. You haven't heard it like that in a long time. And right when you saw that call, that gutsy call by Coach Ben McAdoo, you knew that this team was prepared to sell out, to do anything it took to win the game and to change the perception of what people thought about them.
Now, one thing that wasn't a surprise, although I do have a question here, we're going to get to this one first. Chase wants to know, what do the Giants need to look out for on Thursday? I think it starts with Kirk Cousins.
Without a doubt. They have to do a great job of making sure that they make him uncomfortable. He's in his groove when he can sit back, three, five, seven-step drop, get that foot in the ground and release it. You have to give him a lot of credit because he's been getting pressured. He's been getting hit, but he's stood in the face of that adversity. But you know, if you stymie their run game, which now with Chris Thompson out for the season, that they'll make this offense one-dimensional, and then you can control the time of possession on your offensive side of the ball.
You know what's interesting? Thompson gets hurt in the game, but then Samaje Perine, the rookie, comes in, David. 23 carries for over 100 yards, and he is a bulldozer.
He really is. He's a monster. But what has he done when he was at Oklahoma? He's let the ball go, and he's put it on the ground. So that's something that you know when you have a young runner out there. He may be fresh, but you have to make sure you rip out and get that ball and try to get as many takeaways as possible.
Now, James wants to ask about a big play in yesterday's game that led to the game-winning field goal in overtime. Roger Lewis, he says he was touched before he caught the ball. This was the one inside the five-yard line on the fourth down throw from Eli. And then untouched after. He wants to know if we think it was a touchdown. I know Roger thought it was a touchdown.
I thought it was a touchdown, too. Bob and I, Papa, after the post game, we talked about it. And for us, we all thought that that should have been a touchdown call, because what's a catch anymore? The ball was out. Before he secured and had full contact of it, that arm was off of him, and it wasn't on his bicep and his elbow anymore. So I feel that that should have been a touchdown. Obviously, that's one that they're going to send into the NFL for a review. And you might get the letter saying, we were wrong. It should have been a touchdown. But at the end of the day, They won the football game.
Yeah, Eli Manning then takes the knee, and that sets up Aldrick Rosas to kick the game-winning field goal. We had talked on last week's program, and Sean kind of wants to go back to that thought. He says he loves the aggressive play calling. Will we see more of that? Well, yes, they did take some gambles, but I think one of the big keys is that they stuck with the running game.
No question. Balance. 32 runs to 35 passes. It allowed this offensive line to be more aggressive than they could have been in the past. A lot of two tight end sets with both of them setting up at the edge, making sure they could be physical. And you have to give Wheeler a lot of credit stepping in at the right tackle position and fighting. They did a great job up against all the different schemes that they could have gotten to make sure they held up, they finished it plays. And Orleans Darkwa, staying consistent with that run game, allowed them to be the dictators of who wanted to be physical.
Bill wants to know, should we use a tight end in the slot position more? Giants did have a lot of double and triple tight end formations.
They really did, and that was an advantage for them because then they could start to manipulate the coverage and open up things for Evan Ingram. So that's definitely something that you're going to be looking at when you're facing this Washington Redskins defense, that their main focus are, we have to get pressure with our front seven because they know on the back end they can't play the trail technique, and that's where they've been exposed for big plays.
Now, Kaiser was listening to your comment before about Chad Wheeler making his first NFL start, an undrafted rookie free agent out of USC. That's Justin Houston going up against him. I asked him on the postgame show, what was your mentality? Was it don't make a mistake or be aggressive? And he said, I wanted to be aggressive.
And you saw that in the game plan of what they did schematically, offensively, and you saw it out of Wheeler, that they brought that fight to him. And the other thing that really helped the offensive line, Eli Manning's hard count. You saw them jumping off, getting the defensive offsides that made them stay honest at those defensive end and defensive tackle positions.
You know, Sterling Shepard wound up coming down with migraines in the 24 hours before the game, and the Giants realized he was going to have to be scratched. You have to give a lot of credit to Travis Rudolph making some catches. Roger Lewis had the big catch at the end of the game. Those are big plays that had to be made. Somebody had to make them.
They're huge plays, and these are young players that took advantage of their opportunity to step in, play a big role in this offense, and they rose to the challenge, especially down the stretch. I mean, talk about the Lewis catch. That is tremendous for him in the pressure time with the game on the line to come up with a huge catch like that.
Jonathan has a question about the Giants secondary. He said he thinks the Giants played a lot of zone instead of man. And is that something more that Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, will do in the future?
You'll see a different combination. They're going to try to disguise and bring different looks because when you are facing a Kirk Cousins, you have to give him something different because if you sit back in a base, he can tear you apart that way. The other thing you saw in this game, three safeties. There was times where there were three safeties out on the field to make sure that they secured the middle of the field of any crossing routes, which we knew the Chiefs loved to do, and they did a great job.
You know, I'm going to ask you, David, how much do you think the wind played a factor in this game? I thought it was the windiest game that I have ever experienced at MetLife Stadium, and it did play some tricks with the ball.
It did. You saw it in the punting game and in the kicking game. It paid dividends with the wind. But I think Eli Manning playing in this stadium, he was more secure and more confident in throwing the ball than Alex Smith because there were shots that Alex Smith had downfield, but he didn't trust his arm and he didn't trust the wind.
Well, you know, that's what they say about home field advantage. And many times over the years, Phil Simms was a master at playing the wind in the old Giants Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Which, the double tunnels up. Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on now. You got to take advantage of it when it's there. I'm waiting for one final one. It's from Joe, and he wants to know how do the Giants neutralize Kirk Cousins. Well, we touched on that before. One thing would be to whack his receivers at the line of scrimmage.
No question. Disrupt the timing of this whole offense because, you know, that's what Jay Gruden talks about. Tempo and timing.
Yep.
A receiver hits at 7 yards, that ball's coming out. So you have to get Kirk Cousins off of the mark. And once again, if you stop the run up against the Washington Redskins offense, Kirk Cousins will not beat you with his arm.
All right. Hey, David and I will be back on the Giants postgame show immediately following Thursday night's Thanksgiving game against the Redskins. That game can be seen on MSG. And, of course, don't forget, First and 10 comes your way on a special day, Wednesday at 5:30 MSG as well. For David Deal, I'm Paul Dottino. This has been On the Line. We'll see you next time.